German lawmakers approve a bigger bailout fund for Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In Berlin today, German lawmakers said yes to expanding the size of the European bailout fund. The vote was closely watched because the bailout fund is seen as a crucial part of solving the European debt crisis, and German citizens aren't in love with the idea of bailing out their European neighbors. The BBC's Steve Evans is with us now from Berlin with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how significant is this vote?
Well, it's very significant. What it's about is in July, the leaders of the 17 countries in the Eurozone, the countries that use the euro, decided on beefing up the fund to bail out failing economies like Greece and Portugal and whatever. The leaders agreed it. Then it seems people realized it had to be actually ratified by parliaments. 17 parliaments had to ratify it. So this was about the German parliament ratifying that agreement already done for a bailout fund. If they'd said no, that would have been the end of it. It would have scuppered it and the financial markets would have gone into a tailspin.
And there was a lot of question about what would happen here. There's a lot of opposition in Germany to bailouts. Here's a resident of Berlin speaking to the BBC today.
Personally, I get the feeling that they don't really have a concept of what they're doing with the money. It's just pumping more and more money into it and don't even know why or what to do.
So, Steve Evans, why did these German lawmakers go against that anti-bailout tide in Germany and vote for this expansion of the bailout fund?
Because they think that if they don't find a way of saving economies that fail, like Greece, then the whole thing shatters. The whole thing falls apart. The euro is no more, and that would be chaos. So the German government reasons it wants the euro to continue because it likes it politically, but also the alternative would be very bad for everybody.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Well, the cheap chic clothing company H&M said today its profits fell last quarter, but not by much. And in the next month or so, the company will become the latest mid-range retailer to team up with a big name in fashion. H&M will be launching a collection designed by Versace. Sally Herships reports on this growing trend in the fashion world.
Consumers want to buy their aspirations, which they tried to do when Target offered a discount line of Missoni products. Shoppers were angry about hard-to-get goods. But when high fashion meets mass market, the real risk is to the luxury brand being available at a discount for too long. Paul Swinand is a retail analyst at Morningstar.
Once you've done that deal with Penney's, it'd be tough to go back upscale as a high-end brand in Nordstrom and Saks.
Versace and H&M solution? Fast fashion. Move the line in and move it out. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up about 1% in Tokyo, down about 0.2% right now in Frankfurt. In Finland, the phone handset maker Nokia says it's cutting about 3,500 jobs around the world as it tries to compete with the Apple iPhone and Google's Android. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dialed back 179 points to close at 11,010.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Now to the airline industry, which is being hit both by a cutback in leisure travel and high oil prices. But one company is beating the odds. Emirates Airlines used its focus on high-paying business travelers to make $1.5 billion in profit last year. Compare that with American Airlines, for instance, which lost almost $500 million. And now Emirates is expanding its U.S. operations. For more, we're joined by Jim Baxter, who is the vice president for North America at Emirates Airlines. He's with us here in our Los Angeles studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're adding new routes from the United States. Just this week, you're announcing that you're going to be flying from Dallas and from Seattle. Why would you be adding new routes in a country that is looking at economic growth of just 1%, 1.5% for the next year?
Well, we're convinced in the long-term continued growth of travel, business travel in particular. So, yes, short-term economic problems, but this is just the beginning, Jeremy. There'll be more expansion in the U.S. for Emirates.
What about the emerging world? How much faster is that growing for an airline like Emirates than the United States or Europe or some of the traditional developed economies?
It's growing very fast. In fact, one of the keys, if you take a look at the Emirates route system, we now fly to 21 destinations in Africa.
Hmm.
We fly to 11 cities in India. We fly to China. Manila, Australia.
And you're filling up these planes?
And we're filling up these planes. The demand, particularly for business travel, has been strong, remains strong, and we think it'll continue to be that way.
A lot of the big legacy carriers, as they're called here in the U.S., American Airlines, United, Delta, they face competition from these low-cost carriers like Southwest. Do you guys have that kind of competition?
There's the beginning of some of that competition in the Middle East Gulf. Fly Dubai is a low-cost carrier, but we see it as enlarging the size of the market. So more traffic to and from Dubai, which is our major hub, we think is a good thing.
What do you see as the biggest challenge for Emirates going forward?
We are an airline who do not belong to an alliance. So you have the SkyTeam, Oneworld. Increasingly, they are working together to leverage each other's product. So the fact that we're a standalone, it makes our task a little bit more difficult on one hand. On the other hand, it allows us to control our destiny.
Jim Baxter is Vice President for North America at Emirates Airlines. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, to Fargo, North Dakota, home of the famous Coen Brothers movie Fargo, and now home to Fargo the Beer, which was unveiled yesterday. The first beer being produced there is called Wood Chipper, named after a rather famous scene from the movie involving a wood chipper and a person. And that's as far as I'm going to go on that one at breakfast time. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Technology, social media. It's more than just a screen name and a password, you know, and it all boils down to just one thing, me.
What's interesting is we are living in such an autobiographical age. I mean, every text and post and email and tweet, everything is you trying to express yourself in all these new mediums.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, an autoblogography on Being Connected. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.